For our lesson tonight, I've chosen a lesson that I think will go very well with the Bible class lesson of this morning. More than one half of Americans say that, this is a survey obviously, but more than one half of Americans say that religious beliefs are a matter of personal opinion, not objective facts. Some examples, 52% say Jesus was a great teacher, but he's not from the Godhead. 64% said that God accepts the worship of all religions. 56% say that hell is real. Of course, obviously, then 44% would say, well, we don't believe in hell. I was listening to a person on TV last week, and he is one that has preached all over the world, has a daily program on TV, and a lady wrote in to him in kind of a little bit of the question and answer session and so on. And she said, I'm a Christian. And she said that I believe that repentance is necessary for a person to go to heaven. And that you said, and one of your sessions a few days ago, that repentance is not necessary to go to heaven. I hadn't heard that one before. And of course, he started in about faith only then. And he used the scripture of where the man was taken by his friends and let down through the house to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. And he said, Jesus didn't say anything about repentance and that we have no knowledge of that person repenting and so on. And so you do not have to repent to go to heaven. Just faith only. Tonight I want us to talk about and to study about speculation. Will you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through verse 37. Matthew chapter 12, we'll start with verse 34. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Jesus said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Words matter, don't they? Words are important. And in this lesson tonight, and maybe next Sunday night, I want us to study about the importance of words, and again, especially the word speculate or speculation. When I stopped preaching regular at Liberty Hill, Carol and I decided that we would just visit a lot of churches. Now, I was actually speaking once a month over at Shoals Branch, but the other three or four Sundays a month, then we would go visit congregations. Especially, we went back and visited congregations where I'd preached regularly over the years and so on. And so again, visited various congregations and so on and talking to a lot of people on the phone, preachers and elders and so on, and church members, and again, talking to a lot of people at those congregations where we would visit. I talked with a lot of preachers during that time, and I still do. Talked to a lot of elders, and again, I still do. And talked to different members and so on, and parents. And one word kept coming up over and over and over again, and that was the word speculate. Or speculation in regard to the scriptures. Well, Webster's Dictionary says the word speculate or speculation, it means to think about the various aspects of a given subject, to meditate, to ponder, especially to conjecture. Now, think about it, that in regard to the scriptures and so on, especially to conjecture. I want to look at this quickly from four different thoughts real quickly. I've had a lot of preachers tell me of their great concern of the congregation where they're preaching, that they have members, especially young members, wanting to argue, to speculate about the scriptures. I've had many preachers talk to me about that. And then I've had parents talk to me. And if you will, turn to Psalm chapter 78. And let's read verse 5 through verse 7. Psalm chapter 78, we'll start with verse 5. Psalm chapter 78, verse 5. It says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Again, I've had many parents speak to me about, "We send our children away to Church of Christ colleges, and they graduated, and they came back home, and all they want to do is argue and speculate on the scriptures with us as parents." One father told me, he said, "We send our children away to a Church of Christ college, make sure they got a Christian education. And they came back home and said, 'Mom and Dad, why did you take us when we were kids to those churches, those conservative churches? And them teach us all that stuff? Why did you do that to us?'" Young people and parents greatly, greatly concerned about sending their kids off to Church of Christ schools, colleges, for them to get a Christian education. And then their kids come back and want to speculate about the scriptures. A third example. I've had members of a particular congregation or church saying that the congregation where they attend is full of people that continually want to speculate about the scriptures. And then they went on and said, especially young people, and especially young people that have attended Church of Christ colleges. And the church where they attend is full of people that want to do that, speculate about the scriptures. And then, number four, many members get a weekly dose of speculation from the pulpit. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, we read this one this morning, and we all are very aware of what Paul said to Timothy. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2, and of course, really it's verse 1 through 6, but Paul says to Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." He said to Timothy, he said, "You preach the word." again, in a lot of congregations, they get a weekly dose of speculation from the pulpit and from the class or classes that that preacher teaches. I'm going to tell you a little story, and this is a fairly old story, but a son went away to college a long way from home. He came home for Christmas. And he said to Dad, he said, "I need to talk to you in private, Dad." And so they go into the study or the living room, wherever, you know, was private at their house and so on. The son says to Dad, and he says it very arrogantly, "I just want you to know, I don't believe all that religious stuff that you taught me growing up." That Dad looked at his son very closely and he said, "Son, that is your choice. Your terrible, terrible choice." Well, question, do we speculate? And the answer is, well, sure we do. I do, you do. We speculate about the weather. The weather people were all over the place about what it was going to do today and this afternoon and tonight and so on. Well, I speculate about the weather, don't you? Sometimes I think I can do a better job than they do. Sometimes I think, well, all I got to do is go stick my head outside and I can give a better forecast than they give. And so we speculate about the weather. We speculate about politics, don't we? We probably, most of us, we speculate quite a bit about politics. We speculate about the economy. I was reading on my phone yesterday, and this ought to make all of us feel really good. Well, it's according to how much you believe it. But anyway, this financial advisor said, "I can 100% promise you," you know, whoever the audience was, "promise you that there is going to be a downturn in the market, and it's going to be really soon, and you're going to really lose a bunch of money and so on your retirement funds and so on." And so, of course, he was saying he was an expert, but we speculate about the economy, don't we? We speculate about sports. I was absolutely 100% sure that Georgia was going to beat Alabama yesterday. Yeah, and when they jumped out 10-0, I thought, they're going to run them out of the stadium. Well, Brother Eddie, that's not the way it turned out, was it? So we speculate about sports. Probably some of us are speculating. I think it comes out tonight or in the morning one about who's going to be in the national championship. Four teams that will be in. And speculate about who those four teams will be and so on. So we speculate about sports. In the last year and a half, we've got a large dose of speculating about when schools will be open or when they'll be closed. And some schools around the nation now are starting to close again as far as students being able to attend in public. The schools will have to stay at home and be on the computer and so on. So we speculate about school opening and how and when and things like that. We even speculate about romance too, don't we? Romance for our children, our grandchildren, and so on and so forth. Our granddaughter is 11 years old, and they were home for Thanksgiving, and I started to ask her if she had a boyfriend or not, and I thought, Mom and Dad probably wouldn't like me asking her that, so I thought, Granddaddy, keep your mouth shut. Don't get something started. You wish that you hadn't said anything. But we do. We speculate about romance, don't we? Maybe not our own anymore, but of children, grandchildren, friends, and so on and so forth. Now, again, I ask the question, do we speculate about the scriptures? And then, what does the Bible say about speculating about scriptures. And I've got four or five or six different passages I'd like for us to read. First of all, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55. We're reading about what does the Bible say about speculating about the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and verse 9. God says this to me and to you. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Another passage, Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through verse 9. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through verse 9. And these were scriptures that were used this morning in the class. "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines, the commandments of men.'" 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 21. Peter says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And then Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and verse 19. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and verse 19. Again, Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." James chapter 3, verse 1. James chapter 3, verse 1. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Obviously, there are many other verses or passages that we could use, but these are just a few. But these are great, great warnings to us about speculating and adding to and taking away from what God's Word says. This was mentioned in the class just a little bit this morning, but the restoration motto or the restoration plea was this: "Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Thus saith the Lord," book, chapter, and verse. Sometimes people ask me, or they asked me this 20-something years ago when I retired from teaching school, "Well, how is it different now than it was when you first started?" Well, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago when we were here. This is my 50th year starting in December to preach. And so people ask me from time to time, well, how is it different now than the way it was 50 years ago when you started preaching? Well, back then, that motto of speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent, and thus saith the Lord, book, chapter, and verse, that was still the motto, still the stance in the Church of Christ then. But not so today in so many places. In many places, they wouldn't even know what you're talking about. They think, well, what is that? That's some strange stuff we're hearing. We don't know what you're talking about. But 50 years ago, when I first started preaching, that was still pretty much the stance, the motto, and so on in the Church of Christ. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Thus saith the Lord, book, chapter, and verse. But again, what about today? For some preachers and some elders and some members, everything in the Bible is up for debate and is up for conjecture. What do you think? What do you think? What do I think? What does the Bible say? I want to say this to you, and I kind of wanted to say it in the Bible class this morning, but I didn't say anything. That, you know, when we're talking to someone of a denomination or of a different religious group and so on, and when they say, well, I think this, and they name what particular church body they're a part of, and they say, well, this is what we teach and what we think, and so on. What do you think? What do you say? Or they might say, well, what does the Church of Christ say about this? You know what they're asking you for? They're asking you for a, quote, like a denominational teaching, because that's exactly what they think we are. So my denomination says this. What does your denomination say? And if you say, well, the Church of Christ teaches this, you didn't say what the Bible teaches. What their ears are hearing is, this is what my denomination says. That's what they're hearing. Or you say, well, I think this, or I think that, or I've been taught this or that by so-and-so and so on. Then their ears are hearing, well, that's what your denomination says. My denomination says this, your denomination says that. Why is one better than the other one, and so on? But what if you say, this is what God's Word says? Then that's not a denomination teaching, is it? It's what the Word of God says. And again, to them, it ought to make all the difference in the world, because then if you read it or they read it, and it's from God's Word, then it's not you saying, and it's not your thought or your thinking and so on, or your speculation or your religious group speculation. It comes from God's Word then. And it should make a difference to them. Now, whether it does or not, that's up to them. But at least you're not saying to them, well, this is what my speculation is, or my religious group's speculation is, this is what the Word of God says. Well, I've been going about 22 minutes now. Next Sunday night, I would like to go over some different things about where there's a lot of speculation in the Lord's church today. I'd like to talk, first of all, about the church's name. A lot of speculation about that today in the church. I'd like to speak about music in the church. A lot of speculation about that again in the church today. Speak about sin and hell And again, a lot of speculation about that in the church today. About marriage and divorce and remarriage, a lot of speculation about that in the church today. About social drinking, there's a lot of speculation about that in the church today. And then, if we've got some time, I might want to go over a few other things to you. Some things that I've actually heard myself out of the pulpit by people that I considered very, very liberal or false teachers that are in the pulpit of the Church of Christ today. Any of you have, I don't know exactly how you want me to do this class, but anyone have a comment or a question that you'd like to bring up? Anyone? If you'd like to have something else you'd like for me to address briefly next Sunday night, that would be fine, if you'd like for me to do that. But we're talking about speculate and speculation in the church today, and especially what damage that is doing in the church. And one of the most fearful things is that most of it's coming from our young people. So what is the church going to be in the future then? If it seemed like everything is open to speculation in the church today as we think about scriptures, what is the church going to be in the future then? Well, I hope no one has said anything, so I'm going to just go on. We began by talking about the person that said repentance is not necessary to go to heaven. And he gave that example that I mentioned to you. We didn't go to a passage, but you're very aware of that passage and so on. But I've got a couple of questions to ask him. And, oh, by the way, he's not here in front of us tonight, is he? So I'm not asking him directly. But if you go to Luke chapter 13, verse 3, and then verse 5, again, he said repentance is not necessary to go to heaven. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, and then verse 5. Jesus said, I tell you no, or if you're the old King James version, nay. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Verse 5. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's the Lord speaking. Well, I could call that person's name that said that repentance is not necessary, but that's not necessary for me to do that either. But was Jesus wrong when he said that? Did Jesus not know what he was talking about when he said, you've got to repent or you're going to perish? Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when they were told, as they asked Peter and the brethren, many brethren, what shall we do? As some of them were convicted that they were guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. Peter said, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Why did Peter tell them to repent if repentance is not necessary? If you can go to heaven without repentance, why did Peter tell them to repent? Because that is necessary according to God's word for a person to have their sins removed by the blood of Jesus and for them to be able to go to heaven. But see, that is speculation. And it's speculation that gets down to the very, very simple basic truths of God's word for us as Christians today. And that's how to become a Christian. Speculation on that. Of course, the doctrine is faith only. But again, I'd never heard before one say that repentance was not necessary of those that believe in faith only. But he taught that and he said that. So even in the very first principles then, speculation about what is necessary to become a Christian and then to start living the Christian life. Well, we know, and I'm not going to go over the verses or turn and read the verses, but we know that faith is necessary, that repentance is necessary, the confession of our faith in Christ is necessary, and that to be baptized for the remission of sins is necessary. And there are many, many passages in the New Testament that back that up. Is that what you need to do tonight? We would pray that you would do that. We know that when one sins after becoming a Christian, again, repentance is necessary. And confession of that to God through Christ is necessary. And then if that sin is very, very public, then you want to make it known publicly that you have repented of that sin. And so if you need to do that tonight, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and as we sing.